good help. Love lifted me. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm glad that God brought me out of that pit, aren't you? Glad to be saved. Glad I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God lives in me. I'm glad I could hear preaching like that tonight. Well, I'm so thankful that Brother Darrell Cox has arrived safely this evening. He is a pastor of pastors. And what that means is preachers, pastors all across this country call when they have difficult situations that they deal with, and they get advice and counsel from this man. You know why? Because he spent his life in the Word of God. He lives in the Scripture. He has a podcast, and if you, any of the major podcasts, you can look up. Brother Cox, would you tell them just a little bit about that? Because and maybe I can tell them a little bit about it in a little bit if that's something I could help you with. I'll do that. On the way, when he finishes preaching, I'm going to give you some help, and maybe you could jot it down. I'll give you exact link on how you can get to Brother Cox's daily podcast. It will encourage you, a great song, a great encouragement from God's Word every day. I love a phrase that he repeats over and over again. He says, I'm just an old-fashioned, old-time Baptist preacher. He's old-fashioned. I like that. You know, he lines up with the Scripture. That's what he's saying. He's a Bible-believing preacher, and that means so much to me, and I'm so thankful that he can be with us. We have a special song. Brother Dave's going to come to sing for us. Let's pray for Brother Dave, and then Brother Cox is going to come to preach for us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath had has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Glad you're here. And good to see a lot of my family here tonight and so many friends. If I go to naming them, I'll leave somebody out, and I don't want to do that. But all of you, as far as I'm concerned, you're my friend here tonight. And thank God for all of you and this good church. I was here in the very beginning of this thing when it started. And I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I could say that I've preached. I know when it started, when we started on this lot out here, when we put a tent up out here, we cut trees. If you remember that, some of you would remember, we cut some trees out here and set a tent up. Jack Green held a meeting. I don't know if you remember that. We started with just a tent out here and had a revival meeting. And so that's been a long time ago. I don't know how old the church is. How old's Lighthouse? About 1981. I know that that somewhere in that neighborhood. And so I thank God for your church. Thank God for you and Brother Larry all those years. And now it's transitioned over to Brother Hart. And I'm glad to see things still going good. You know, so many times, you know, pastors will resign a church and the thing goes plumb to the bottom and it just falls completely apart. I really don't think it has to be that way. I really don't think it has to be like that. It's good. And you know, when a man's give his whole life, he's give his life to see a church go for the glory of God, he dead sure don't want to see it go down. He wants to see it keep going. And so I know Brother Larry Cochran is rejoicing tonight that things is going good here. Brother Fred is doing a good job, and I'm glad and always glad to be with you folks here, and Brother Ray Young, my good friend, that I love and appreciate him so much. And we've been together in a lot of meetings over the years, and I hope we're in a lot more, Brother Ray. I hope the Lord allows us to preach together more, and glad to be here with you. Now, if you'll take your Bible, turn to the book of James. Brother Ray, he's a short preacher. He said he preached 30 minutes or so. I don't know if he did. It didn't seem like it, did it? It was so interesting. So interesting, kept my attention. And if I got my don't have my mic on, okay, good. Preacher, Brother Ray told me he turned it off, and I thought I turned it on. Got it on now? On now? Okay, good. All right. And so, good to be here tonight. The book of James. Last week, I preached in California, and man alive, getting there, just getting there. You know, on Sunday, Brother Ray, you know, I go hard every Sunday riding that bus and preaching and everything, and I got in about 10 o'clock that night after I talked to people last Sunday, and got in bed at 11 and got up at 2. And then Brother Mike picked me up 2:45, took me to the airport, and I was in there a little after 4, checked in, flew to Atlanta, sat for 3 hours, and then flew 5 hours to San Francisco. Brother, when I got there, it was noon. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. But then we went hard. You know, we went hard. And then after the service that night, Brother Treber and them, you know, they want to get something to eat. They have food prepared there at the church. And it was about 10:30 when we got away from there that night. You know, time church was over and all. And brother, to me, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, been 24 hours. Now, you're talking about tired. I was tired. And the next morning, we left the motel at 7:30 to go back to church and stayed all day. And I'll tell you, when I got back from California, buddy, this was a tired man. And I'm glad today to get in the car and only have to ride 3 hours. It's not too bad. Look in your Bible, James chapter 5, and I'm going to look at verse number 14. Verse 14, and it says here, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now, on the way in here tonight, we got a lady in our church up in years, been sick for months, and having a hard time. And we've prayed for her. But she called me and said, "Pastor, would I be in order to call you and ask you to get maybe the deacons and maybe staff or whoever you'd like, and come to my house with me and my husband, and we'd like for you to pray over me and anoint me with oil and ask God to heal me." I said, "You're in perfect order." See, the Bible here says, "Is any sick among you, let him," the sick, "call." Let the sick call. See, you got today these modern day people who claim to be healers. They're doing the calling for people to come. Well, that's not right. Right here it says, "Is any sick among you, let him call." Let the sick call for the elders. And then it says, "Let them pray over him." Let them pray over him. And then it says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." You see, the prayer of faith. Two things there. Prayer and faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Boy, that's encouraging right there, that he was like we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I'm going to talk to you tonight on some things tonight that prayer will do for you, things that prayer will do. Father, I pray tonight that you will help us as we, Lord, set out to speak on this big subject. And Lord, one of the most important things in all of the world is that we as God's people call on God and talk to God. Please, Lord, tonight help me to make this message simple, but make it straight to where people get it. And Lord, may they be encouraged tonight to pray more and pray fervently and pray, Lord, with faith in God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible has so much to say about prayer. Let me just turn, if you would, and take your Bible and look at John 14. Look at John chapter 14. I just want to read a couple verses, and then I'm going to give you some points here, and we're going to go home. John 14, and as you look over there, look at verse number 13, and look what it says, John 14, 13. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the key to getting your prayers answered is found in that last verse, verse 15, where it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. An obedient Christian can get his prayers answered. If you look across the page John 15:7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Prayer and the word of God are just like this. They're inseparable. And there's no point to ever pray for anything that the word of God cancels. If the word of God something don't line up with scripture, don't pray about it because there's no use. What we ought to do is have scriptural grounds that we're praying about something that we know that it lines up with the Bible. Now, let me give you some thoughts here about prayer, what prayer does. Let me say, first of all, prayer makes the presence of God real in our life. Prayer makes the presence of God real in our life. In 2 Kings chapter 20, there was a king there named Uzziah, King Hezekiah that loved the Lord. And he loved the Lord very much. But Hezekiah got sick. He got down completely. And God told the prophet Isaiah to go and see King Hezekiah and tell him that he was going to die, And I'm telling you, them Old Testament prophets, Brother Ray was talking about understanding the Old Testament. Let me tell you, Brother, them Old Testament prophets made it, I mean, they talked straight, didn't they? They didn't mumble around. When they had something to say, if it was a message of judgment, they brought it. And here comes Isaiah in and said to the king, set your house in order, for thou shalt die not live. And the Bible said that the king turned his face to the wall. Hey, have you ever been in a shape where you're facing the wall? You ever been in a shape where you're facing the wall? Let me tell you something. Brother, sometimes God will allow a man to get in a place where all you've got, and it's all you need, but God will allow you sometimes to get in a place where all you've got's God. A lot of people lean on anything else but God until that's all that they have is God. But if you'll ever figure this out, that the very first thing we ought to do when we got problems, the very first thing we ought to do is call on God, isn't it? And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he turned his face to the wall and he called out on God and he said, Lord, I've walked before you in truth. Look at it. Remember what I told you a while ago? If my words abide in you. Now look at it. Turn back there. Just turn back. Take your Bible and turn back there to 2 Kings chapter 20. Let me just, I'm not going to be long. I'm going to be like Brother Ray. I'm going to try to just give you a couple of things here and try to bring this thing in for a landing. But I want you to look, if you would, 2 Kings, Hezekiah, look at it, verse number 1. In those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, said, came to him and said, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee. Look at this. Walk before thee in truth. You know what that means? God's word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said, Lord, I've walked with you according to the word of God. I've walked with you in truth. Look at, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. You know what that means? Obedience. Remember what I read to you a while ago? That the key to getting your prayers being an obedient Christian. I've walked in truth and obedience and done that which is right. And Hezekiah, look at this, he wept sore. He wept sore. You know what that means? He cried a bunch. That's what it means. He cried. He was crying.
Now look at what and it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Look at that. I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears, and behold, I'll heal thee on the third day, and thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. Two or three things what God told him. Number one, he heard his prayer. Number two, seen his tears. You say, I don't think tears has anything to do with it. Well, I'll tell you what, it impressed God here.
Yeah, right.
Huh? Yeah. When's the last time you prayed about something to the point it brought tears? I went and prayed with a woman the night before church. One of my cousins called me. He's got cancer. And one of my other cousins called me and said, she didn't even know I was here. Didn't even know I was in town. And she said that we've taken Kathy to the hospital. And I went in there to see her. And I couldn't help it when I saw her in the condition she was in with cancer laying there in that bed. Listen, it brought me to tears. I could hardly pray for tears. I'm praying God touches her. And whether I told her tonight, you're a winner either way. Whether God raises you up or don't. If he don't, you're going to be with him, which is far better. Amen. But who knows? God can. I remember years ago, several years ago, that a woman up here when I was a member of the Victory Baptist up here and Brother Frank Pittman was our pastor. We had a woman in the church that had a liver disease. And the hospital up here, Raleigh General, told her you have but a few days to live. And that woman, this first time I was ever done anything like this, Brother Hart, and she called the pastor and asked the pastor and the deacons to come to her bedside at the hospital. And she said, I believe if you'd come pray for me, God will raise me up. I'll never forget that. Brother Frank called me. And we went up there at that and got around that hospital bed. And I mean, she was dying. And listen, we prayed over her and walked out of that room. And then a few days later, that woman was leaving that hospital. Now, what do you think done it? I believe prayer did it. God did it. God did it. And brother, I'm going to tell you something tonight. There is a God in heaven that hears and answers prayer. Old Daniel. Hey, you know what? Even that old unsaved king told Daniel when he put him in that den of lions, Brother Ray, what he told him. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, is able. That's an unsaved man. He said, your God that you serve continually is able to deliver you. And he did, didn't he? He did deliver him. And folks, I'm going to just tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven that hears and answers prayer. Let me tell you something tonight. If America's spared, it'll be because of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I thank God for our president. I love him, and I back him up. But let me tell you, if you think, brother, that any president or vice president or anybody in the White House is going to deliver America to where it needs to be, there's only one that can turn this nation back where it ought to be, and that's God in heaven. And brother, we better get on our knees and get a hold of God. Amen. But prayer brings the presence of God, makes God real. Prayer makes God real. I'm telling you, it makes God real. You're not probably going to even believe what I'm telling you tonight, and I may not get any further than where I'm at. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people pray, but they don't pray. What I'm saying, have you ever prayed to where when you finished and you got up and you said, I know I got a hold of God. You ever done that? Hey, do you know what? I'd been saved for some time. And I remember Brother Jerry, when I was a member of Victory Baptist Church up here, Brother Frank Pittman, God bless him. Amen. Brother Frank called me one Saturday night. He said, Brother Darrell, I'm going up to the church to pray. Would you like to go? I said, yes, sir, I'll go with you. Brother Fred, we went in that church at night. And Brother Frank got over here and laid down on his stomach. And the lights was out in the church. There wasn't any lights on except a light that was shining from the outside like a street lamp. And Brother Frank was laying over here, and I went over here and laid down flat on my stomach. And we prayed, seemed like for about 30 minutes. We prayed for people and prayed for things. And when we said amen, I got up and got ready to leave. And Brother Frank just kept laying there, and he said, Brother Darrell, I don't feel like we've touched heaven. I just got back down there, laid back down. I just laid back down there on the floor. He laid there. I didn't know what to do. And he just laid there for a while. And after a while, I heard him say, Oh, God. Brother, let me tell you. God got in that room. God was so real in there. Brother Larry, I know we prayed for a couple of hours in there that night. And I'm going to tell you something that's almost too sacred to talk about. I really believe that night, for the first time in my Christian life, that I really knowed what it was to get a hold of God in a prayer meeting. And a lot of times, I believe you need a prayer list to have a prayer life. Because you're not going to remember everybody that asked you to pray for them. And I don't know how to say this, but before you tell somebody you'll pray for them, be careful. Don't just tell somebody lackadaisically, I'll pray for you. Because to me, that's something that if you're not going to do it, you shouldn't tell them. And if you're not careful, you'll take in so much territory, you'd have to quit everything else totally. I only know one man that I ever seen that prayed, and it was Dr. Don Green in Michigan. There's probably been others, I'm sure. But I was holding a revival for Don Green in Michigan. He's in heaven now. He lived to be in his 90s. He pastored that church 62 years. I went up there to preach actually for his son, but Dr. Don was still living and was still the pastor there, but his son was sort of pastoring things. And he picked me up at the airport and he said, Brother Darrell, Daddy wants you to come by. He wants to pray with you before you preach tonight. I said, all right, that's good. Brother Ray, we went in there that night, pulled up in the driveway that evening about 4 o'clock, I guess, 3 or 4 o'clock. And we went in the house, and Dr. Green was sitting in a recliner. He was sitting in a recliner, and he had around him a big table. I'm talking about wide and big. It almost made a horseshoe around that recliner, plumb from way over here all the way out around the front in front of him. Big, huge table. And on that table was stacks of papers that thick all the way around. Hundreds of pieces of paper, sheets, big literal sheets of paper all the way around him. And he was sitting there with his head down. He was in his 90s, sitting there with his head down and his Bible in his lap. And when we walked in, his son walked over and sort of got him on the shoulder and said, Daddy, Brother Darrell's here. And he reached that big old thick hand. Remember that big old hand? He reached it out, got a hold of my hand. And he said, Son, I'm glad you've come. I'm glad you've come to preach to us. I just wanted to pray over you. He said, I've been sitting here since 5 o'clock this morning going over my prayer list. And I got to looking, and every bit of that was his prayer list. There was thousands of names on there, thousands. And he said, I probably won't get it done before we go to church, but I'll come in tonight and pick up where I left off and finish. Every child he had, including his daughter, was a preacher or a missionary, and every grandchild. Every child. And his daughter Mary died with cancer in New Guinea on a mission field. All of his children were preachers. Is it any wonder? Why? Praying down the presence of God. Prayer brings the presence of God. I'll give you this. I'm going to hurry. Finish up. Prayer brings the power of God. To see God's power work in the services. We need the power of God. Amen? Oh, we need the power of God. You know what? There in Acts 16, Paul and Silas got locked up for winning that demon-possessed girl. You remember that? That demon-possessed girl walked through the streets and followed Paul and Silas through the streets. And she said about Paul and Silas, this man, these men are the servants of the Most High God. That's in Acts 16. And it said, thus did she many days. Here's an unsaved woman. This don't even make no sense. An unsaved woman following two preachers through the streets saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Show us the way of salvation. But she wasn't saved. And the Bible said, Paul, being grieved, turned and rebuked that spirit, and that girl got saved. Now, she was a fortune teller. And when she got saved, she had to turn in her cards and her crystal ball and her Ouija board. Amen? She had to give all that mess up. And she went back and told them men that had her on the street. She said, boys, I'm out of business. Can't work for you no more. What happened? Got saved down here. And they put Paul and Silas, they swore out warrants because it hurt their money, didn't it? Put them in the inner prison, beat them, tore their clothes off of them and beat them, and put them on the inner prison, in the solitary confinement back there in the back. Locked them up, shackles on their wrists and ankles, beat to pieces, blood running down their backs and legs. And the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and praised God. Now, two things they done. They prayed and they praised God. You said, did they preach? I don't know if they did. But I can tell you what, they're praying and they're praising preached. Because the Bible said the prisoners heard them. And God shook the jail. God shook the jail. And the shackles fell off. And the doors flung open. And the warden come running in and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Old Billy Kelly used to say, if you think the warden calls a prisoner sirs, he said, all I got to tell you, you've never been in jail. Oh, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Let me tell you, that old Philippian jailer got born into the family of God that night. Brother, I mean, an earthquake come, the power of God came. You know what we need in our churches? We need the power of God. Yeah. I won a woman to Jesus Christ last week named Sue Umplett is her name. Sue Umplett. And she'd been visiting our church three or four Sundays. One of our ladies who worked with her invited her to church, and she came. And I don't know why I was on the impression that woman was saved already, but she wasn't. Because the man, the husband of this little girl said, Sue's not saved. I don't think she is. And I told my wife, I said, let's go find that girl and talk to her. We went and found her and found where she lived and went around, knocked on her trailer. Nobody came to the door, went around the back door. She's sitting on the back porch. Beautiful story about salvation. She got saved. And this is what she said, preacher, I'm sitting here. She said, I'm in the worst valley I've ever been in my life. She's not saved. She said, I'm just, it's the darkest days of my life. She had a boy who'd been dead 4 months on that day. And then had another one, got killed on a motorcycle. Started to, I didn't have any idea that woman been through all of that. But look at me, listen to what she said to me. She said, I've been to your church about three or four times. And every time I come and you preach, God talks to me. She said, God, she said, I always leave there. She said, she didn't say under conviction. She said, with God talking to me. You know what that was? That's the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And folks, if we don't get the Spirit of God in our churches, and I don't know no other way to get God here but to pray God down. You know, we was talking about Acts 16, about God, them praising God and praying. Lester Roloff said, if you want to get God on the scene, praise Him down and pray Him down. I believe that's true. I believe it's absolutely true. A lot of times, friend, and I'm for preaching. I love preaching. I do it every week of my life. Do it every day of my life. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, that I really do believe until we've prayed, there's not much use to preach. Because it ain't going to be much to it. Sword of the Lord, years ago, interviewed old Brother Bobby Robertson down there at Gospelites. And Brother Bobby said, Gospelites grown to several thousand, and we'd just like to interview you about it. What do you think? I mean, is it your Sunday school, the organization, your Sunday school? Do you think that's it? He said, well, we got a pretty good Sunday school, but no, I don't think that's it. Do you think it's your preaching? He said, that dead sure is not it. Do you think it's the bus ministry? He said, I don't think that's it. Well, what's the key to the success of Gospelite? Brother Ray, old Brother Bobby got tears in his eyes. He said, we have a Saturday night prayer meeting where about 40 or 50 men gets around the altar on Saturday nights. And he said, we call on God and beg God to show up. And we beg God. And he said, and let me tell you, He does. He said, I wouldn't be surprised if the reason God has not blessed Gospelite is because of the Saturday night prayer meetings that we have every Saturday night. Folks, if we could ever get people to see, you're not going to do no more than you pray about. Oh, we need God. We need God. I mean, we need the Lord. We need God. Hey, you know what it brings? It brings the power of God. Hey, the prayer, and I'm going to leave out half of it, but prayer brings the supplies. Prayer brings supplies in for the church and to you personally. Do you know what it is? What have you ever prayed about that God answered? I've had things. I've had some prayer requests. I don't even want to. Things that I've seen God do that I go guarantee you, my wife can tell you, that I had a something I was praying about was over, I'll just say this, it was over $100,000. It was over $100,000. And I preached a week revival at a church in Colorado in the mountains. And I preached in that church. And the preacher, he was, he had some other things he had to do. And he said, in the mornings, if you want to study, and he said, I know you like to walk. He said, if you go out this road just a little ways and turn right, he said, you can go 100 miles, he said, is an oil road, oil wells. He said, ain't nothing but dirt road. You'll not see a house. You probably won't even see a car. He said, walk as far as you want to walk. Beautiful, too. Old red rocks. Looked like you was in a western, you know. And every morning, when I'd doing my praying, I'd go out and go on that road, and I'd walk out through there, and I'd get on that road, and I'd walk and pray, and walk and pray. And I prayed about that thing. And I mean, I took time to pray and said, God, I need you to do this. And that God being my witness, here's my hand on the Word of God. I didn't ask anybody for a dime. Didn't even tell anybody what I needed. Didn't tell a soul what I needed. But I prayed every day about that. And when I got home, exactly the amount I prayed for to the penny. From a person I'd never met, never heard from, they never seen them, never talked to them on the telephone, never sent them a text message, still have never seen them in my life, sent me a check and said, Brother Cox, know about your ministry. We had a big business deal go down last week and want to be a blessing to you. Prayed about it and felt like it's where God has sent it. Took care of it. I'm talking about took care of every penny of it. Now, I'm not saying if you pray about something for a week, that's going to happen. But you don't ever know. You may pray about one time, God will take care of it. Hey, let me ask you something. I want to ask you this. You ever prayed anybody into the family of God? You ever prayed people? You ever pray people under conviction? Pray God save them. Hey, let me tell you, going back to the tears thing, I really believe this all my heart, till we get burdened for people to the point that we pray with tears, we will not see God do anything. Think whatever you want to think. Think whatever you want to think. But I'm telling you right now, no tears, you're not going to have much fruit. You got to have water for fruit, friend. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray. If we ever see God move, we have to pray. See God save people, you're going to have to pray. See revival, you're going to have to pray. If we see America come back to God, you're going to have to pray. Is that right? America's not just going to turn around because the gas goes down and the eggs goes down and all that kind of stuff right there. I hope it does. I hope it does. Oh, that'd be good. I hope it does. That's easier on everybody. I hope it does. But friend, if it don't, let me tell you something. Look here, I don't care what happens. I'll be honest with you. If you're in tune with God and walking with God, let me tell you right now, if God has to send a chicken to lay on your front porch and lay eggs, He'll do it if you pray. Am I telling it right? Say amen. God do whatever He's got to do. Hey, Brother Jerry, you may not remember this illustration, but I don't know why tonight I thought about Brother Frank several times. Frank Pittman told this story. Frank's daddy got hurt in the mines. He was a preacher, but he was working in the mines too. And got hurt in the coal mines. I'll never forget this story he told about prayer. And he said that one morning his mother was praying. Frank's mother was praying. God, Frank was a little boy, but he said he remembered when it happened. If I had $1, we could buy some bread and some groceries. If we had $1, if you'd just supply $1. That morning, she took some soapy water out on the porch and a broom and was scrubbing her porch. And while she was scrubbing that porch with that broom, a little old puppy dog come running up the steps and had been in the mud, just covered in mud, dripping off of that dog. And that pup run up the steps, and she took her broom and said, "Get off of my clean porch," and just sort of shooed that dog and said he had something in his mouth. And when she shooed him, whatever he had in his mouth, he dropped it and took off and running. When she went over there, there was a dollar bill laying there that dog had picked up somewhere out of a mud hole. You said, you believe that? Absolutely. You believe God heard her prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, there's a God in heaven. And old James tells us that Elijah, he wasn't some superhuman. He was a man of like passion. He's like we are. He fought battles just like you do, but he prayed. Let me tell you something tonight. We better get to praying. Let's get to praying. What are you asking God for now? Who are you praying for that's lost that God has saved? Are you praying for revival in our country? Let's pray tonight. Let's bow our heads. There might be somebody here tonight that you don't even know if you died you'd go to heaven. You're here, but if you died you don't know heaven would be your home. Would you slip your hand up tonight? If you're here in this building and don't know you're saved, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Pastor, I don't know if I died I'd go to heaven. I don't even know that for sure. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Anybody like that at all? Then let's do this. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet tonight. And as they come with a song tonight of invitation, let's use this old altar tonight. Folks, you think we need revival?